Hey Jamila, laris betul bisnes nasi lemak kau. Kat mana kau jual?
Aku jual online lah Raju. Satu Klang Valley aku supply.
Eh, macam mana tu? Bukan rumah kau jauh ke?
Taklah, aku guna Cloud Kitchen dekat Sapura Mines lah.
Cloud Kitchen tu apa?
Dekat Cloud Kitchen Sapura Mines, senang. Semua dia dah bagi. Kau nak periuk ke, nak sudip ke, nak oven ke, semua dah ada. Tak payah susah-susah nak beli.
Berapa ringgit kau nak bayar ni?
Tak mahal pun. Tengoklah bisnes aku macam mana. Jual nasi lemak je pun. Kalau kau nak equipment, semua dia boleh supply.
Susah tak masa kau nak apply hari tu?
Langsung tak. Aku call kejap je. Terus diorang tolong set up.
Dekat mana tadi kau cakap?
Dekat Sapura Mines. Layari sapuraproperties.com.my kalau kau nak tahu lebih lanjut.
Baiklah, sapuraproperties.com.my. Okay, thanks Jamila.
Amans Media adalah peneraju kandungan dunia IT dalam bahasa Malaysia. Kami memberi tumpuan terhadap perkembangan dunia IT di dalam dan di luar negara. Kami menghasilkan tutorial dan menggunakan bahasa Malaysia sepenuhnya. Layari amans.my, amanz.my hari ini.
Korang tengah layan podcast Amans, sebahagian dari jaringan podcast di Amans ni. Apa khabar semua? Aku Mat Pis.
Aku Yem.
Okay Yem, kita tahu banyak benda ni and kita selalu sebenarnya cakap tentang Digital Nasional Berhad, DNB dan juga isu-isu berkaitan rollout 5G. Itu perkara yang kita akan sentuh dalam segmen pertama, apa berita terbesar minggu ni. Okay, ada berapa dimensi sebenarnya ataupun berapa perkara yang ingin aku touch on ataupun bangkitkan, because there are a lot of things, a lot of reports surrounding the 5G rollout di Malaysia ini. But first, kita akan touch on exclusive report from Reuters yang menyatakan bahawa Malaysia Telcos call for second 5G provider. This is according mereka quote sources lah. Aku baca sikit excerpt ya. Malaysia's major wireless carriers have recommended the government to allow a second 5G service to be set up, according to three sources and documents seen by Reuters, ahead of cabinet decision on whether to go ahead with a plan for a single wholesale network. Of course, kita dua dah banyak sembang pasal ni. Kau dah banyak bercakap tentang how unfeasible ataupun untenable such a thing is. But ini, I mean, the latest report by Reuters ni menunjukkan bahawa there are rumblings on the ground, and you say bahawa as an industry sebenarnya this is the first time a concerted effort of inactivity, not saying anything out loud, but apparently underneath all this banyak dah ada tak puas hati dan sebagainya. On a separate note also, this is a report from Reuters, but we also know at the same time DNB telah I would say the first phase of their rollout involving TM and also YTL, Unify and YES, they'll be offering the first 5G packages untuk mereka yang mendiami di Kuala Lumpur, Putrajaya, basically the Klang Valley area. But that is only until 31st March 2022. After that, I'm not sure how it's going to look like.
Okay, dia macam ni bro. Mudah aja. Kalau aku cakap, aku masak nasi goreng. Tetapi kau cakap, Yem, kau punya nasi goreng ni level tai. Aku pun dah explain. Sebenarnya nasi goreng aku bukan level tai. Nasi goreng aku ni sebenarnya 5 star Michelin. Dan jauh lagi sekali rasa berbanding dengan tai. The moment ada wujud perkataan tai dengan nasi goreng yang aku bikin,
It doesn't go away.
The problem with DNB here is that orang dah cakap dia akan jadi 1DMB tau. Pernah dengar 1DMB? Kalau kau Google, it's fucking trending right now.
1DMB.
It's trending. Yeah. 1DMB is trending on Reddit and also on Twitter. So the question now is, hang on, maaf. Aku nak lepas geram ni.
Okay.
The moment you start to not equate yourself with 1DMB, with 1MDB, you're off to a bad start. What happened today? Today, hari ni. Timbalan Menteri Kewangan 2 Yang Berhormat Yamani Hafiz Musa, si Pitang punya MP, dia pergi explain panjang lebar bagaimana DNB ini bukan 1MDB. And I think that no matter what comes out of his mouth, it's game over already, because engkau dah equate DNB dengan 1MDB. And because of that, it becomes a big, big problem to get that stain of that 1MDB off from your explanation of what DNB is. And no wonder Reuters punya expose ni jelas. Dia menyatakan bahawa syarikat-syarikat telco ni menyatakan bahawa dia nak create satu lagi konsortium baru untuk menjayakan 5G yang baru dan untuk memastikan bahawa rangkaian wholesale network akan dapat diberikan dan dijayakan secara bersama, secara konsortium. So it no longer becomes a single wholesale network as per provided for by DNB. All this, I think, is just delay tactics, if you ask me, from the telcos. Because they don't want to create another consortium and create a thing because they've tried it before. It didn't work, okay? Ralph Marshall pun ada juga point dia. Ralph Marshall ni CEO, apa ketua pegawai eksekutif DNB. Dia kata, the telcos have been given enough time to form a consortium and build a 5G network in its own right. Dah 4 years dah, 3 years dah. Nothing's happening. But whatever it is, there is an impasse between the telco and the network provider, in this case DNB, and the government and the regulator, which is MCMC. Whatever it is, nothing is working. And that is the big problem. And to top it off, now we're talking about 1MDB being equated to DNB. It really is not moving anywhere. Who's the loser here? Engkau dengan aku?
We are all lah.
Engkau dengan aku? Kami yang tak dapat 5G. Kami yang sangkut-sangkut dengan 4G sekarang ni.
Itulah yang aku nak, masa aku nak interject kau tu, aku nak cakap pasal Yamani Hafiz Musa lah, and the fact that a deputy minister have to come out and explain in this vein, basically illustrate how shitty the situation is. And aku rasa, you know, I'll be quaking in my boots if I'm working at DNB because I'm not ready for this. Because aku rasa aku kalau join DNB ni, we want to do 5G rollout. It's hardly a scandal, right? I mean, it's hardly a scandal if you ask me. It shouldn't be a scandal. It should be just a simple, I wouldn't say it's simple, but it's a straightforward rollout of a new technology or a new standard bearer in telecommunications, and aku rasa I have no idea how they could mess this up, but apparently they did. And I remember kita ada sembang pasal benda ni in the previous episode, and we say it's untenable. Yeah, I think this untenable process is going to be prolonged even further because of the latest announcement lah, which I'm referring to. The usage ataupun perkhidmatan sehingga 31st March 2022.
Okay, tapi akhirnya hujung dia kan, episod sebelum ni kan kita ada sembang. Apa hujung dia? Teman aman, soalan daripada kawan kita tu. Dia menyatakan bahawa hujung dia jadi apa? Soalan dia sekarang, kita punya explanation, penjelasan kita terhadap teman aman episod 45, 46 dan sebelum ni, tidak lagi boleh digunapakai sebab it's going to be still up in the air. The moment solution tidak dapat memberikan gambaran yang jelas tentang bagaimana kesudahannya cerita DNB ini memberikan satu ketidakpastian terhadap bagaimana 5G akan diperluaskan di negara kita. So, I think to provide some form of revision into how the DNB story is going to end, it's going to be like this, Mat Pis. Dia ada dua je cara dia sekarang.
Okay.
First is that DNB is going to be dissolved, no matter what. DNB is going to be dissolved. There's no propping up this bit of conversation, and just because it is a MOF company, just because it is presided by somebody big like Ralph Marshall, just because that billions, maybe millions of dollars is pumped in, just because of all this, it doesn't mean that it's not going to go away. It can go away. We just look at 1MDB; it went away. All right. So if something that is untenable, such as DNB, it will go away. It will go away. That's number one. Number two, I think that the consortium is going to happen, and I think that another version of single wholesale network will happen, but this time it is going to be run by the telcos as
industry
per
led
their request.
Industry led.
Now, what this means is, semua ada berkepentingan ekonomi, bro. Ada berkepentingan komersial. And then kalau kau tengok kan, yang dalam laporan Reuters tu, Axiata, in this case Celcom, Maxis, Digi, dengan there's another company, I think U Mobile, wants to create this. And then you talk about YTL, doesn't want to have this, and telecom will be like, fine, whatever, right? They're the bigger position.
But telco
kata, go for it. So, of course, I think TM will be like, they look at the situation, whatever the bigger hand will be, they akan ikut. When that happens, it's going to be a slower rollout. It's going to be a problematic rollout, but at the same time, it's going to be a rollout that is going to be driven by personal interest of these respective companies. And because of that, we're not going to see 5G anytime soon. I'm talking 2024 onwards, not 22, not even 23. 2 years down the road. And by that time, by the way, orang dah cerita pasal 6G dah, bro. Singapore entah dah launch pun.
Huawei is developing, right, in China, 6G.
Huawei developing 6G. Bro, Nokia yang aku baru temuramak baru ni, Dato' Rauf Nasir, dia bilang Nokia dah ada lah patent 6G. Dan diguna pakai trial basis in their home base country in Finland. So we're talking about 6G already. 5G tak nak launch. Payah bro benda ni. So that's how I think it's going to end.
It's a very painful situation. And aku just want to pick up on what you said about, you know, if something is untenable, it's going to go away. But then the question now, ataupun persoalan ni sekarang, is how much bad is going to bring compared to when it's going away. I mean, the faster it goes away, the better, without impacting us in any negative way. Anyways, on that note, kita akan monitor the situation, DNB and 5G, perkara yang sangat dekat di hati aku dan Yim. Kita berehat sebentar, lepas ni kita ke segmen kedua, apa lagi berita terbesar minggu ni.
Tahukah anda industri permainan video merupakan antara industri terbesar di dunia yang bernilai berbilion-bilion ringgit? Dan saiz industri ini telah kekal gergasi selama beberapa dekad. Pada tahun 2020, pendapatan dari pasaran permainan PC di seluruh dunia dianggarkan bernilai lebih 100 bilion ringgit. Dapatkan berita dan rangkuman dunia permainan video terkini sepenuhnya dalam bahasa Malaysia di aksiz.com. AKSIZ.com hari ini.
Okey, kembali ke podcast Amaz bersama aku Mak Pis dan juga Yim. Ini merupakan segmen kedua apa lagi berita terbesar minggu ni. Okey, we are still in the local punya scene ataupun kisah di Malaysia. Sime Darby to collaborate with TNB to accelerate electric vehicle adoption. Okey, so this is actually happened this week. Sime Darby's Berhad Automotive Unit, Sime Darby Motors, plans to work together with Tenaga Nasional Berhad for 2 years to explore initiatives to accelerate the adoption of electric vehicles, including ensuring a network of highly efficient EV charging infrastructure, which it should be in place to support this growth. And, well, I mean, other than the usual memorandum of understanding with the signing, I think what this signifies for EV adoption, aku rasa this so-called improving this EV adoption ataupun electric vehicle adoption ni has been going on for years actually. In fact, aku rasa yang kita berdua pun pernah sembang tak dengan pengerusi electric vehicle Malaysia of some sort. In fact, he was a former CEO of 1MDB, right? I think.
Kau tengok, nama dia Syarul Nizam. Dia ni bekas ketua pegawai eksekutif 1MDB. Kemudian ini lah, second coming, dia jadi apa? Dia jadi President Club EV Malaysia. Can you believe it?
Tapi
it only happens in this country.
This is more of his hobby lah, yeah. This is more of his hobby lah.
It is. He owns a Tesla. Aku rasa dia own Tesla Model S, and of course he's a big deal in terms of a big proponent of EV. And you know, when they say it's a chicken and egg argument, which one comes first? The charging cable comes first, or
the car comes first?
All right. To me, it's not a chicken and egg. You have to build the infrastructure.
It's chicken and egg.
Yeah, because
simultaneous, right?
The road was there, and then Ford Model T was built. All right. In tandem, except penambahbaikan jalan raya tu. Dulu dia naik guna kuda. Sekarang ni dia pergi turapkan jalan tu dan dia letakkan tar dan dia kereta boleh guna pakai. Jalan tak berubah. Okay? The same thing with this. Apa, you have the road, you have the electricity powering the road. All you need to do is just empower the kind of facilities on the road. In this case, it is the petrol stations. If the government has a policy, tu pasal pentingnya ada dasar EV daripada kerajaan. Tak boleh kita guna pakai NAV, National Automotive Policy, NAP. Tak boleh pakai sebab NAP tu tidak menerangkan secara jelas bagaimana EV boleh dibentuk. Dan untuk, you know, harken back to your conversation just now when we had the conversation with Syarul Nizam, the ex-CEO of 1MDB, now the president of Club EV Malaysia, my EVOC, it is not just about telling the individual companies what needs to be done. It is about having a national automotive policy that is geared up towards EV. Tetapi kerajaan a bit slow when it comes to dasar berkenaan dengan EV. So we have to rely on individual companies. In this piece of news, macam kau cakap, it is TNB, it is IMDb. But the oil companies also have a vested interest. Shell, Petronas, ExxonMobil, Petron, all this have a vested interest. If they have charging stations, fast EV charging stations at their counterparties' power point, I'm sure it's going to be easy for them. By the way, my piece, did you know I just bought a hybrid car? I just bought.
Oh, I did. Congrats. I didn't know.
Tak sampai 5 hari. As we speak, I can look at my car right now. It's charging right now. That's okay, the point, right? Consumers like me, we want to charge our damn vehicles, right? Yeah. But we have no points dekat luar. We can only charge it at home. So, nak tak nak aku kena beli hybrid because kalau tak, I can't charge it. Kalau habis ni, game over, aku turun tarik flatbed. That is the point, right? I want more facilities and I'm ready to be the first mover in the market to buy an EV, in this case a hybrid, to help me in my objectives of achieving zero net carbon. Tetapi tak boleh sebab jalan raya tak ada lagi EV, tak ada lagi fast charging station. So, kudos to Saim Dabi, kudos to TNB untuk memastikan bahawa kolaborasi ini dan memastikan ada EV adoption di negara kita semakin kencang. Tetapi apa yang penting adalah kita masih memerlukan dasar peringkat nasional daripada kerajaan tentang penggunaan electric vehicle di negara kita. Di sini tidak wujud lagi satu dokumen yang memastikan bahawa kerajaan terus mara ke hadapan terhadap EV. Kenapa kerajaan tak ada policy EV? I'm not surprised.
Tak terfikir.
If we can't even solve 5G, 5G.
We're definitely far from EV, right?
Oh, jauh, bro. It's like, you know, masak nasi goreng pun tak boleh. Ni kau nak buat souffle, truffle. Payahlah, bro.
Kau nak buat event yang social distancing dijaga pun tak boleh.
Lepas tu pergi panggil IGP, pergi panggil PM untuk pecahkan SOP. Bukannya kadang-kadang kau nak ajak orang pecah SOP, bro. Nombor satu, nombor dua negara ni. Pihak berkuasa. Okay. Kurang satu je. Apa, Home Minister je tak ada. Kalau ada Home Minister, then you get the Holy Trinity. PM, IGP dengan Home Minister. Terus break IGP.
Tapi you see, aku rasa, kita sembang ni bukan hanya untuk kritik suka-suka, but these are the sort of conversations that we need to be having. We shouldn't be having about chopstick conversation or, you know, all this unnecessary. Kita kena cakap tentang apakah polisi electric vehicle kita, apakah polisi net carbon kita, apakah polisi 5G kita, how do we come up with more innovations, dan benda-benda tu yang harus dibangkitkan dalam conversation sehari-harian, at least at the national level. On that note, all the best to Saim Dabi and TNB. We are looking forward. Aku dan Yem looking forward. Yem will look forward even more since he just own an EV car. We're going to take a break. Lepas ni kita ke segmen ketiga, segmen Teman Amans.
Amans Media adalah peneraju kandungan dunia IT dalam bahasa Malaysia. Kami memberi tumpuan terhadap perkembangan dunia IT di dalam dan di luar negara. Kami menghasilkan tutorial dan menggunakan bahasa Malaysia sepenuhnya. Layari amans.my, amanz.my hari ini.
Okay, kembali ke podcast Amans bersama aku, Mak Pis dan juga Yem. Ini merupakan segmen ketiga, segmen Teman Amans. Seperti biasa, aku dan Yem akan mendapat soalan sama ada dari segi email ataupun voice note tentang dari pendengar-pendengar tentang apa-apa isu yang boleh aku dan Yem touch on dalam segmen kali ini. Seperti biasa, hantarkan dia ke us@amans.my. Aku ulang sekali lagi, us@amans.my. Dan untuk minggu ni, Yem, kita dapat email daripada saudara Ezad di mana dia telah bertanyakan tentang pembelian ataupun acquisition done by Grab untuk Jaya Grocer. Apakah impaknya dan apakah hala tuju Grab, sebuah syarikat yang terlibat dalam e-hailing, membeli sebuah grocer? Well, aku pun sebenarnya terkejut bila baca, because it came, I would say it came out of nowhere, but I'm sure they have all these funds and they thought they want to diversify, and you know, maybe they do have Grab Mart, so having a Jaya Grocer would maybe value add their Grab Mart. I don't know, what do you think?
Okay, dia punya penjelasan dia mudah. First of all, Grab baru lancarkan spec, alright, dekat Nasdaq. And SPAC is a blank slate where you are going to the market IPO through the back door. And why I call it the back door? You get the money first, you get the thing done, and then hopefully you can launch yourself even better. So they need to spend the money. Itu dia punya main objective. Grab needs to spend the money that they raised during the IPO via SPAC. Number one. Number two, they are using a template that is being done by Amazon. Sebab Amazon dulu beli Whole Foods dan dari situ dia melancarkan Amazon Go dan you know that kind of thing where you masuk kedai, you just take anything you want, then you walk out because the sensors are reading everything. There is no checkout counter dan sebagainya. It was a big deal, bro, in 2017. And in some aspects and retrospect, masih lagi diguna pakai hari ini tetapi dalam bentuk yang berbeza. Ini memberikan satu opportunity ataupun peluang kepada Amazon untuk tangkap that retail market. And just like Amazon beli Whole Foods dan Grab beli Jaya Grocer, they are targeting the T20 shoppers. Dia tak beli Giant, dia tak beli apa nama. So the template tu mudah, dia dah nampak dah. Amazon beli Prime, Amazon
beli Whole
Foods. It's a working model. Now Grab beli apa nama? Jaya Grocer. What's next? What's next? What's next is extremely clear. Grab wants to be Amazon, and in this sense, after purchasing Whole Foods, Amazon lancarkan Amazon Prime, Amazon apa nama Echo, and Alexa, and all this results in about 60% of American households today ada Amazon Prime account. 60% of American households. And that's a big deal because we're talking about the world's biggest economy. And exactly, you're capturing 60% of the wallet there. They don't really care if you are not on Amazon Prime, even if your ticket purchases are big. Bila kau masuk Amazon dan beli barang kat sana, they don't really care about that. They really care about recurring revenue bundles. All right? And when they hit the recurring revenue bundles, that's where you make your real money. And this is where Grab is going to go. Dia dah beli Jaya Grocer. Soon, dia akan launch Grab Prime, and then they're going to be launching streaming services.
They're also having a digital banking on the horizon.
Already a digital banking on the horizon. They have applied lesen digital dan akan diumumkan pada suku pertama, paling lewat suku kedua. Ada 5 lesen digital bank yang akan dilancarkan oleh Bank Negara. Dan mereka telah memohon lesen bank digital. Sekarang pun dah pakai dah sebenarnya Grab Wallet. I can send money to my daughter just like that. My wife just transferred money kepada anak aku using Grab Wallet. So what's next for them? What's next? What's next is clearly, number one, they are going into streaming services. Number two, they are going into AI. And then we're going to have a Grab Siri or Alexa soon enough. And then, you know, my fridge is going to be automatically filled up, all right? Benda yang basic, telur, susu, roti. Benda ni, I can go brandless or I can go on a specific brand. Every 4 days, I got to buy bread anyway. Every 3 days, I got to buy milk anyway. So the thing just drops
at my front door. It's not going to be scheduled lah.
Everything's going to be scheduled. Everything's going to be automated. And everything's going to be so smooth and so easy. That's where Grab is heading into.
Very,
the question now is on the execution. Roadmap dah jelas. Roadmap dah jelas. Can they execute as well as Jeff Bezos did? My argument is it's going to be tricky. Why? Because America homogenous. Satu negara, satu bangsa, satu bahasa.
And it's also a very big market, right? I mean,
it is the biggest market in the world. Tetapi the most important thing here, Mat Pis, is it's contiguous. So, semua berpadanan dengan masing-masing. ASEAN tidak... it's not contiguous. Okay,
banyak
to get
PN
to Jakarta.
You
can't drive to Jakarta unless you have an autonomous vehicle that can go, you know, deep sea diving and cross rentas Java Sea. You can't do that, you gotta fly. Right? Because of the incontingency of the geographies that is of the geography of ASEAN, you can't make it work that way. But with different modes of geography also lies different opportunities. So maybe Grab can pull off some stunt that Amazon did not pull off before. Itu satu. Dua, when we talk about bahasa, I mean, how many bahasas are there in ASEAN, man? You got to be kidding me. Dalam Malaysia pun, I mean,
banyak,
you know,
more than six. Kan? Two Malaysia, right?
And you know, how will you present these kind of languages? And then bila engkau text to each other, right? You don't text, adakah engkau mendengar aku? You know, you text kau DGR space X question mark.
WeChat. Yeah.
All right. Now, how do you verbalize that, right? You can't verbalize that. So that there's nuances that Grab needs to unfold. But what I can tell you is this. I'm so energetic and I'm so excited about Grab because I did not expect them to use the Amazon template. Today, we see that they are using the Amazon template. And when you use a template, you can see what's coming next. Mm. And when you see what's coming next, the kind of brilliance that Amazon is coming up or has come up, the next big deal for Grab in ASEAN is just going to be amazing. So I really hope that they can pull this off.
Yeah. Me too, actually. I mean, if it's, they have a benefit semua lah. I mean, we are customers, consumers of their services. Terima kasih, Izzat, for giving us that question. Very interesting conversation that comes up from your question. Sekian saja untuk sesi teman Amaz. Kita berehat sebentar. Lepas ni kita akan ke seterusnya ramalan atau Zoom.
Zaman sekarang kita banyak akaun social media. Bila nak kongsi status, kan bagus kalau boleh dapat semuanya serentak. Social.co boleh selaraskan proses ini dengan mudah. Layari social.co, social.co sekarang.
Okay, ini adalah podcast Amaz bersama aku, Mak Piz dan juga Yem. Ini adalah segmen keempat, segmen ramalan atau Nuzum. Okay, Yem, apa kita nak ramal ni? Aku rasa kau ada tengok tentang future of platform Discord ataupun bagaimana setengah pihak akan mengguna pakai platform Discord ni. Cuba cerita sikit.
Okay, pertama adalah ini bukan ramalan aku. Ini ramalan Casey Newton. Casey Newton merupakan wartawan freelancer yang agak gah di Amerika Syarikat. Beliau memiliki satu newsletter yang bernama Platformer dan kita boleh melanggani hasil kerja Casey Newton di Platformer menggunakan apa nama satu lagi syarikat yang agak menarik iaitu apa nama satu service where you pay for the newsletter. And di sini Casey Newton memberikan ramalan di mana digital publishers ataupun syarikat media digital yang besar akan melancarkan Discord server tersendiri. Dan ini membenarkan media company seperti Vox Media, New York Times, Wall Street Journal dan sebagainya memberikan satu diskusi yang sangat luas kepada pengguna mereka dan kepada pembaca berita mereka. Kerana sehingga kini, menurut Casey Newton, letters to editor ataupun surat kepada pengarang adalah satu mode yang agak archaic, yang agak luput. Okay? And then comment section mostly turned off by default.
Okay? Because right? takut libel or whatever.
Betul, exactly. Macam Malaysia Kini dulu, beberapa bulan lepas. And then, banyak wartawan, reporter, tak suka mengendalikan platform mereka melalui comment section sebab it's poorly moderated. And then, you know, most of them is just abusers. Sebab, you know, you normally shoot the messenger. At least in Malaysia, you do. You laporkan berita pasal Najib Razak, habis. You kena attack, bro.
Kau yang salah.
Kau penjilat ni, penjilat itu apa. You know, and then kau laporkan berita pasal, you know, Ismail Sabri, sudahlah kau. You know, you are you ambil terima duit kerajaan. You are no longer impartial and all that. So, you know, sebagai wartawan, it is a big turn off for you to be reporting. And that's why, according to Casey Newton, plenty of digital publishers do have significant scale and do build businesses on top of those audiences. But when they create something where it can reach out or launch using Discord servers, it's going to be creating some sort of an audience at scale. And kalau korang mendengar ni, kalau korang tak tahu Discord server, anak aku 14 years old, daughter, dia menjelaskan bahawa
usually it's game, right? It's game related.
Most it of is game related, and according to my daughter, it is like web WhatsApp on steroids. And you can, it's rich media. You can, you know, drop audio, video, text, images. You can it's more complicated than WhatsApp, but it's still a chat group. You can use hashtags. You can create sub servers, and then you can create permissions where different users have different access to different circles within the same server. So all this enables you to have a high level of modulation and moderation. You can actually kick out people where if they're misbehaving or if they're trolls, you can block them out. You can also admit people into your Discord server. You can make it open. You can make it private. Banyak cara untuk engkau mengendalikan engkau punya audience at scale, dan ini memberikan satu room, yeah, ataupun opportunity for these big digital publishers to continue to engage with their audience using something like Discord servers. And that's why I want to extend this prediction by Casey Newton, panjangkan dia punya ramalan untuk memastikan bahawa kita sentiasa memahami bagaimana syarikat-syarikat media, terutamanya di Amerika Syarikat, dapat menggunakan sistem yang sedia ada, in this case Discord server, untuk mengembangkan dan meluaskan diorang punya engagement dengan audience mereka. Di Malaysia, kalau ada beberapa syarikat media teknologi yang besar seperti Media Prima, Astro Awani, Utusan dan sebagainya, ataupun Harian Metro, mungkin mereka dapat menggunakan Discord server ini untuk juga meluaskan diskusi mereka dengan pembaca berita, pembaca mereka. Tetapi I don't know or I don't see how this is happening because we're still,
or maybe not in 2022 lah. Or maybe not in 2022.
Definitely not in 2022. But, you know, I mean, you should try, right? I'm sure all these companies have the new media arm or something where they try out new media. So I think 2022 should be an opportunity for digital publishers in Malaysia to try out Discord servers to continue to build a continuous engagement with their audience, their clients. Yeah. Right, with their customers. I think that's an idea that they should really think about. So it's a big deal, ramalan yang sangat besar dan sangat penting. And I think we should really take a look into how this can work out.
It's a projection yang memang boleh kita nampak lah. Especially since, I mean, if you remember a few years back, you wouldn't assume that reputable media companies have TikToks, but apparently now, you know, all the big names ada TikTok, Astro Awani ada account TikTok dan sebagainya.
Yeah, you got it. 100%. Yeah. And it's not just that. Individual reporters now have TikTok account, which is republished by their employers.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm following this guy, wartawan BBC. Dia menjelaskan the basic things of, say, EU, trade account, trade deals dan sebagainya. His TikTok is so much better than apa yang dia laporkan di BBC. Sebab bila dia buat stand-upper, dia ada format, dia ada four-para format. Where he is at, what is happening, who said what, and then what's next.
And also it's very formal, right? It's not like bite-sized and not shareable.
And then, you know, he controls his language. Dia tak boleh cakap, you know, fuck ke, what the hell ke, all this. So he uses his freedom on TikTok to share his personal views. That is, by the way, not contradictory to what the things that he says on BBC. Cuma it's full of color. Full of conversation.
Different,
and of course,
different.
The most important thing here, Mat Pis, is that they continuously engage dengan dia punya own audience. Okay? Mm-hmm. Macam BBC, it's a one-way street. Ini berita, aku baca, engkau dengar dan hadam.
Betul.
Berbanding dengan, engkau dekat TikTok, ada komen, apa semua, balas. Lepas tu ada, you know, dia buat new TikTok account. New TikTok videos yang membalas kepada komen yang dibuat kepada TikTok video yang sebelumnya. So it becomes a continuous engagement. And that's what we want, a continuous and honest engagement with their clientele. In this case, diorang punya own audience. So, yeah, you're right. You got it on point when it comes to new media, when it comes to TikTok.
Exactly. On that note, kita berehat sebentar. Lepas ni kita ke segmen terakhir, segmen baik.
Podcast ini disokong oleh Ringgit.com. Ringgit adalah portal media kewangan dalam bahasa Melayu yang memaparkan berita dan isu mengenai industri di Malaysia dan serantau. Portal ini cenderung membahaskan pelbagai topik bermula dari ekonomi ke pasaran ke fintech hinggalah ke startup. Layari ringgit.com, rnggt.com hari ini untuk mendapatkan maklumat terkini dan membahaskan perkara yang penting berkenaan dalam industri kewangan. ringgit.com.
Okey, kembali ke podcast Abang bersama aku dan Yim. Ini merupakan segmen baik buruk. Seperti biasa, aku dan Yim akan sembang tentang apa yang baik dan buruk untuk minggu ni. Aku mulakan dulu. And baik buruk aku sebenarnya minggu ni is the same thing but different for very different reasons. Apa yang aku masukkan adalah of course Act 342. Di mana kita tahu ini merupakan the act that is used untuk kawal, especially when it comes to COVID-19, pematuhan SOP dan sebagainya. And in fact, ada laporan daripada Malay Mail yang menyatakan Health Ministry halves fine for companies that flout COVID-19 SOPs dalam amendment to the bill. However, RM10,000 compound for individuals to stay. So, of course, this is this is not set in stone yet. This is just document cited by Malay Mail. And sebenarnya aku the buruk part here is that aku sebenarnya agak terkejut that all these the corporate companies are given leeways as compared to individuals. Sebab aku rasa individuals, there's so many reasons you can be flouting SOPs but you are only as an individual. So for example, mungkin mask you terjatuh and you are unable to use it and then tiba-tiba kena tangkap, or there are so many other reasons for individual, but as a group or as a company, it's more likely that companies langgar SOP. So actually it should be the other way around. The tak tahulah, but I'm no expert, but aku rasa that companies should be given tighter restriction as compared to individuals. But nevertheless, the debate on this rages on. And aku rasa, this is a lembaran baru dalam legislatif negara. This act is going to be, I would say, the thing that most people probably get the charge on di mahkamah moving forward. Because we hear about flouting SOPs every once in a while. So, we just wait and see. Itu baik buruk aku untuk minggu ni. Kau pula macam mana?
Aku punya buruk adalah kehilangan rakan sejawat aku. Okay. Allah Yarham Ross Yusof.
Oh, okay.
Kami Ross saling mengenali masa kita bekerja di BFM. Dan kehadiran beliau dalam hidup kita ni memang tak dapat dinafikan. Pada sekitar umur 31 tahun, beliau mempelopori dunia radio modern versi kita, iaitu di Hits.fm. Pada waktu itu, tak ada dot lagi. Hits FM masa itu. Kemudian beliau berganjak ke Mix FM dan beliau menjadi mainstay DJ, presenter dekat sana. Sebelum beliau teruskan kerjayanya ke BFM. Dan di BFM beliau Allahyarham mendiang Ross Yusof mengendalikan rancangan football Panther dan beliau tak ada pun ada macam kita pun ada juga kawan kita Adam Carruthers kan dia temu ramah orang dahsyat kan bekas pemain Premier League dan sebagainya. Ross balik, Ross dia punya friends from the pub, and then sembang bola kan. And beliau telah meninggal dunia pada 15 Disember berumur 55 tahun dan ramai yang terkejut mendengar berita ini termasuk aku. Dan mungkin kita boleh sedekahkan fatihah kepada beliau supaya memorinya terus hidup dengan kita for a long time. I am shocked and saddened, but this is what life is all about. So that is my buruk.
Betul. Takziah diucapkan kepada pendengar-pendengar yang mengenali Ross Yusof dan juga kepada keluarga Allahyarham Ross Yusof. Baik pula.
Baik eh.
Baik. Tak dia baik.
Eh, mesti ada. Sekejap, biar aku fikir. Inilah, I guess the telco saying a big fuck you to DNB lah. I think that was that.
Yeah, I mean, until the consortium actually realizes ataupun solidifies.
The consortium will never be realized. Look, dude, I am so pessimistic about this shit. The consortium will never be realized. Exiata, whatever. They could have created the consortium yonks ago, but they did not.
Yeah,
they did not. Why? Because berkelahi lah. I mean, masing-masing ada berkepentingan.
Adalah. Dia nak belahi, dia nak belahi.
Aku nak buat 20%. Bila aku nak buat 20%, kau tengok kenapa pula ni dia buat 20%, kau nak buat 30%. Aku pula tengok kenapa kau nak buat. Lepas tu jiran kita sebelah tengah, screw you both, I want to make $1. Jadi memang tak selesai lah job kita. But whatever it is, I think DNB is in big trouble. And I think DNB needs to get out of this. I don't know how. I really don't know how. I think this cannot fly lah. And the fact that all this imploded within 1 year. 1 year, bro. It's just really amazing. Really amazing. I'm surprised if DNB can survive its 1 year anniversary. I'll be really surprised. I don't know what shit they can pull out.
InsyaAllah, I mean, kalau podcast Amaz masih ada pada December 2022, we will revisit this particular issue.
You know what? Yeah, we should do a year-end special, man. This is one of the year-end specials. You know, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. Right. On that note, on year-end special tu, kita will simmer and think about it. We have time. Sekian sahaja sesi podcast Amaz untuk kali ini. Kita akan bertemu lagi di sesi akan datang. Seperti biasa, jika ada maklumat dah, sarangan dan sebagainya, hantarkan ke ask@amaz.my. Aku dan Yim sentiasa mengalu-alukannya. Kami akan berehat sebentar selama seminggu dan kami akan kembali pada minggu seterusnya.
Amans Media adalah peneraju kandungan dunia IT dalam bahasa Malaysia. Kami memberi tumpuan terhadap perkembangan dunia IT di dalam dan di luar negara. Kami menghasilkan tutorial dan menggunakan bahasa Malaysia sepenuhnya. Layari amans.my, amanz.my hari ini.
Hey Jamila, laris betul bisnes nasi lemak kau. Kat mana kau jual?
Aku jual online lah Raju. Satu Klan Valley aku supply.
Eh, macam mana tu? Bukan rumah kau jauh ke?
Taklah, aku guna Cloud Kitchen dekat Sapura Mines lah.
Cloud Kitchen tu apa?
Dekat Cloud Kitchen Sapura Mines, senang. Semua dia dah bagi. Kau nak periuk ke, nak sudip ke, nak oven ke, semua dah ada. Tak payah susah-susah nak beli.
Berapa ringgit kau nak bayar ni?
Tak mahal pun. Tengoklah bisnes aku macam mana. Jual nasi lemak je pun. Kalau kau nak equipment, semua dia boleh supply.
Susah tak masa kau nak apply hari tu?
Langsung tak, aku call kejap je. Terus diorang tolong set up.
Dekat mana tadi kau cakap?
Dekat Sapura Mines. Layari sapuraproperties.com.my kalau kau nak tahu lebih lanjut.
Baiklah, sapuraproperties.com.my. Okay, thanks Jamila.